Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Hello, Work Shoot Show fans. Boy, did we have a great WrestleMania weekend. It's time for another episode of The Work Shoot Show with myself and Peter McGinn. This is episode, hold on, I should have it like at the top.
36,
this
is episode.
No, yeah, 36. You're absolutely right. I was about to say 41 because I was looking at WrestleMania 40 predictions, but this is 36. Want to just real quick say thank you to all the people, whether it was audio or YouTube. We had a really good week last week. A lot of people was clamoring for some more content, so we are here. So thank you to everybody who tuned in. Pete, man, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. Just wrapping up my all my podcasts I have to get done before I head off to Japan for 2 weeks. So this is the last one. I just got to edit some.
Nice. So, okay, so let me ask you. Out of, like, is there something that you're looking? Because we know people who listen to this podcast know you've gone to Japan before. You told us some of the things you went to a wrestling show. Is there something this time around that you were ecstatic about that, you know, we might not have heard about on the first go around?
Yeah, the first time I only went to Kyoto for like 6 hours. So, and I loved it. So, I'm going there for 3 days this time.
Nice.
So, really looking forward to that. But it's just like, you know, broadening my horizons. Like, I like doing a mix of the city, like going to Tokyo and Osaka and stuff. But I also like doing like hikes and going to rural stuff. Yeah, because there's some like hidden gems out there. And
it's a beautiful country on the like outside of the city shit. Like,
it's so beautiful. And like their small cities is like, it's like 80,000 people. It's like, it's not small. Like,
yeah,
there's so much shit to do there. So it's like, it's so funny when I see like, oh, I don't want to live in the city anymore. I'm going to go live in like a rural place. And it's like 100,000 people. I'm like, we have very different definitions of rural and
you want to know why? So some British guy, and I know this might sound like dumb what I'm about to say, but this is what he said. And I was like, damn, he's kind of right. He came to America and he's been living here for like this whole year, like TikToking and whatnot. And he was like, you know why we look at like people from across the seas look at Americans like they're dumb for like thinking things like what you just said, like how like a 100,000 city is like small to them. It's because we're so spread out. Like,
yeah, for
our
sure.
Entire country to get to you from me is like hours. Like, yeah. We have towns of like 100 people in between us. So like, we don't grasp how they're like kind of act like sardines on the low.
Oh yeah. No, for sure. It's also just like, you know, it's a small city when the city you're next to or whatever is Tokyo, the biggest city in the world.
True,
it's like
true.
When you go from like 34 million to 100,000, yeah, it's kind of small.
Facts. So, yeah. But that's what's up. Excited to hear your thoughts from coming back, and then excited to hear while you're gone. I think Dynasty happened, so excited to hear what you think about Dynasty. Oh, I will get your votes for your prediction, so don't worry about that. I'll text you for them. But yeah, man, WrestleMania. I don't even want. We'll talk about the punk shit at the end. No need to do the negativity shit first because that shit was crazy. Sure. But what I gather from this past weekend in Raw, it's a new era. They dug Vince McMahon into the fucking dirt and buried him over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, they say it. They said it a lot, and I actually, like, felt it. So it wasn't just talking the talk. I felt like they were actually doing something different. And I felt, I mean, I saw the reactions from people who don't watch wrestling. Like, I do think, like, The Rock was a big part of it because that was a huge part of people's childhoods. And they tune in for that as well. But also just like, I saw a lot of people who were just like, you know, this is kind of dope. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. It's really fun. Like,
you so many people hit me up and was like, I'm back in it. Like
you, and you don't have to watch Monday Night Raw. You don't have to watch SmackDown. You can watch pay-per-views. They'll give you the rundown if you watch like the pre-show or even before they walk out. And like, you can pretty much grasp most storylines.
True.
And still be invested in like 90% of the product. And it's like, yeah, you can do that. It's great.
And look, we were talking about it before when Vince was still here and we felt his undertones. And that's why I was wanting to ask you, because we talked about that a bunch. But this is the first time I can say, like, no, he's not there anymore. Like, they would be, well, like, at all.
When Stephanie McMahon came out, I'm like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I was like,
oh, no, this is legit. Like, she was
damn.
Gone. Yeah.
And then, like, I watched the Hall of Fame speech, and, like, Paul Heyman put over Triple H in such a big way, man. Between him, The Rock put him over in his press conference, and Cody, of course, and, like, for Cody put him over because, like, for Triple H to choose him as his quarterback, quote unquote, meant a lot to him, man. I'm excited to see what they do. So, well, but how did you feel about WrestleMania outside of the era stuff? And we can dive into our review.
Yeah, I would. I wanted to, because I was pretty hyped after the fact. I was letting it settle before I came to my conclusion. I think this is a top five WrestleMania for me.
I didn't want to come in here and overreact and say this is the best WrestleMania at all overall, but you're absolutely right. I will say it's top five. Now, where I put it, I don't know, but I'm with you. Like, it was one of the best ones, but night one kind of hurt it. I'm gonna call a spade after seeing night two.
Okay.
Not, and my scores will reflect that. There were some matches in night one where I was like, damn, this, I had higher expectations, but I should have known
there was because one they didn't build it much.
Yeah, there's one, like, come on, brother, which y'all did in night two was better than what y'all did in night one. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that. But so hell yeah, dude, how do you think it fares against 39? Because 39 was the same. Good. Yeah, 39 was real good. Their night one was great because that was the Triple H one.
Yeah, 39 had one of my favorite matches of the year with Gunther, Drew, and Sheamus. That was probably like my like third or fourth favorite match of the year last year. This year,
multiple
candidates.
It had that one, Rhea and Charlotte.
Yep, that one was great.
Cody Roman was good too. I think this one might top it, but for other reasons. But yeah, like,
we could get to that. But this one, I think this one definitely had its highs and its lows. But I would say for the most part, it was very consistent. And I gotta give props to night two not being like 7 hours long.
I was shocked.
It was like 3 hours and 45 minutes. I was like, oh, it's done? I'm like, I just expected it to be, I don't know, 6 hours for some reason, just because I'm kind of used to that. Like, night one was longer because there was more matches. I get that. But night two felt, yeah. And night two felt very properly paced. So I gotta give props where props is due.
They said night one's main event went over by like 45 minutes. They said The Rock was wilding. But I mean, hey, to your point, because Curse even brought it up to me, because she worked on night one and night two, she watched it with me. On night one, she got home and she was like, damn, this shit's still on?
Yeah.
And night two, she was there. She's like, oh, shit, it's over? Nice. So, like, that's how I knew. I was like, damn, night two did go by really fast. But, man, I think you said it best. I think even though I think night one was not as good, I think consistently this WrestleMania has more matches that are good to great than 39, but 39 had better highs. Like 39's highs were like match of the year. I don't know if any of these matches are match of the year candidate.
I think there's one.
I think there's one that teeters for me as well. I'm interested to see, and I tweeted about it. I don't know if you saw me gush about it, but
I saw your tweets.
Yeah, so that's the one. I don't know what yours one is, so I'm interested. All right, let's jump into it, brother. Take it away.
Yeah, sounds good. So I'm just gonna run down the card. Oh, I guess we'll start from the first match to the last match on night one. We had Rhea going up against Becky. I think we both knew Rhea was going to win. One thing that I like, though, is in these matches that we assume who's going to win, they did a great job at me actually thinking Becky had a chance of winning.
Yep.
So they did that with the Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne match, the tag match they had last pay-per-view, where like I thought there was a legit chance they're going to be Judgment Day.
They did it in the tag team match on WrestleMania. I thought DIY or Strong Boys were going to get it. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, you want to start off, like, starting off WrestleMania where a huge babyface gets a dub is a common thing. It gets the fans very excited. However, Rhea is insanely over. It doesn't matter if she's a heel or not. So I think they could have gone either way for this, but thank God I was correct in my predictions with Becky and Seth losing, because they need to take a break, and I think they're finally getting it. So,
yeah, when that happened, I was like, "Oh, Pete called it. That's what's happening." There, when I got tonight too, I was like, "Oh, it's happening!" Like,
yes, for sure.
Because that happened.
Also, shout out to Rhea Ripley. Sounds like she had a panic attack prior to the match, and then she still like got herself together and delivered a great performance. Also, I give a shout out to Rhea for her Riptide actually looking kind of good.
You think that's because Becky sold it the right way?
A little bit better than normal, yeah. I still think it's one of the worst finishers in wrestling, but this one felt a little bit more impactful than normally picking somebody up and then dropping them. Mm-hmm. So I got to give credit where credit's due there. I thought this was a great opening match through both parties. Like Rhea's, like the live band that she had for her Her opening songs was great. Everything about this was just like a really solid opening match.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. There's nothing really negative for me to say about it. I think Becky did a damn good job putting Rhea over. Like you said, Rhea's ultimately, like, I won't say she's a babyface. She's a tweener. She's an anti-hero. Because I think if Becky would have won, people wouldn't have, they wouldn't have been mad, but they wouldn't have been as happy going into match two. So Rhea did her thing. She's leading that women's division. And it was like, okay, like I said, LA Knight needs to get to that level. Mm-hmm. Rhea, you're now at a new level. You have not only Charlotte Flair in your back pocket, but you now have Becky Lynch on top of all the other things you did. You're entering that legendary status. And you, I don't know if she talked about it. Somebody talked about it. I think it had to be her. About, we don't care about the Four Horsewomen anymore. We have me, yep. Bianca, Jade, Tiff, even though they're from on the newer side of it. But like between Bianca and Rhea, they are leading this new charge, and bravo to them.
Yeah, and now the only person I want taking the belt off of Rhea is Jade. I want to see those two powerhouses go at it. I know Tiff is like also an up-and-comer, but I don't want Tiff to beat... I want Tiff to beat like Bayley. I would like that way more than Tiff beating Rhea, but...
That gives Bayley that could let Tiff stretch her heel vibes. Like the thing, and I'm with you on that because I thought about it. Because Jade's a tweener too, I think that would be interesting. Whereas Bayley being this ultimate good guy needs a bad girl to rock her shit. And for that's sure. Tiff.
Yeah, because you can do Bayley if you wanted to. I think that they could do this going back to Hugger Bayley and really being like a pure baby face.
Well, she had role model on the screen besides her, like, you know, whatever else for she sure. was doing.
And you could have Tiff, if you wanted to put her heel, just being like, oh yeah, you're the Hugger, but like I was the cheerleader in high school type of. It reminds me of like a high school drama, like teen movie that you watched growing up, where like it was
some mean girl shit.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I feel like Tiff could pull off that role really well. So I'm looking forward to seeing this new era of women's wrestling in WWE.
I agree. I'm excited for it. Like, got to give it to them. Some of my top matches were the women's matches. So like, they definitely came out and showed out. So
yeah. And out of 5 stars, I give this one a 3.5. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great opener. I thought it got the energy started for night one, and I think it was the perfect card was the best opener best match to put as the opener, I should say.
I was right there with you. I'm at a 3.4, so I'll just bump up to 3.5. I'm right there with you. That's exactly what I thought. Just a solid way to start the night, get us into it. Wasn't bad, yes. But it wasn't at the 4 or 5 star, but it was damn good.
Yes, it was. Moving on to a damn good match, though, was the 6-man tag that we had. A-Town Down Under, Awesome Truth, Judgment Day, DIY, New Day, and New Catch Republic. And we both got our prediction. Oh, we both had Rhea before. And we both, for this one, had A-Town Down Under and Awesome Truth. And we both got that right. How'd you like this match?
This match, to me, there's one spot that sticks out in my head.
And it's Johnny Gargano.
It's Johnny Gargano doing the DDT into the table, and my boy Tommaso Ciampa jumping off that ladder and pounding him in. Because I kind of messed myself up with this match because I watched the Rivals episode of the Hardys, the Dudleys, and Edge and Christian, and I was expecting maybe some crazy shit, and I think they did some crazy shit, but I think it was contained, and I think it was very good.
The opening like ladder spots that they had were awful. Where like they were trying to like tip it over, but like they couldn't.
Yep.
But then they did, but then they were already like kind of falling off the ladder. So then they kind of did like a softly hit the ropes, like, and then they sold it like it was like a devastating. It's like that ladder fell 3 miles an hour. Like you are like a baby would be.
And then
fine.
When one broke, you saw the pink insides, like the lining or whatever. And it was like, yep. I don't know if that's what a real ladder looks like, but I didn't think so. But it was just certain things like that took away from my experience. But like I said, once they got cooking and then it got really good. So I definitely was very pleased when. Let me ask you, when Grayson Waller and Austin Theory won, did it seem like they didn't know what the fuck was about to happen after this?
They won. They're like, okay, what do we do next? And Grayson was kind of like sitting there. It's like, I think we're supposed to get like pushed over, but nobody's here yet. It's like, maybe I should get down. I don't know. Yeah, it was a little awkward. The whole match kind of had like a... It like... I think, like, technically speaking, it was really good, but there was, like, the vibes were off a little
bit. It was. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it just felt weird.
Yeah, like, if this was, like, a six-man ladder match, I think it'd be a little easier, but when you add 12 people total in it, it gets a little bit more chaotic and hard to orchestrate, and I feel like that's maybe what happened here.
And I knew Miz wasn't taking no bumps. Like, let me just call it spade a spade. Anytime Miz got involved with the ladder, I knew it wasn't going to be high risk, so I was like, there were certain teams that weren't about the high risk people were Grayson and Austin, New Catch, and DIY.
Yep.
Judgment Day wasn't trying to do all that shit.
Hell no.
And Miz and R-Truth definitely wasn't trying to. So it was weird, man. Like I agree with you. It had that undertoneness of just like, that's why I said contained. I didn't want to be, but like, yeah, it's just weird.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that Johnny Gargano spot was probably my second favorite spot of the night. I thought that was just awesome.
Yeah, it was
just
amazing.
An insane move. Sold it well. I don't know if you saw like Drewski in the front row, but he was like losing his fucking mind.
His commentary after was like, damn, this shit is real. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Hey, like we said, they won so many people over this week.
Yeah, no, for sure. It definitely had that vibe of just being different. And man, yeah, I would say the vibes were off, but I think technically speaking, this was a pretty solid match. I'm also giving this a 3.5. Definitely had some room for improvement, but I think overall, this felt like a pay-per-view match, at least.
Yeah, it did. It did. I'm going to go solid 3.3. Just solid 3.3 for just noticing certain things. Like I said, like that ladder thing, that kind of seeing the insulation. I was like, damn. I was like, y'all got to hide that shit. And they did for all the other stuff, so got to give it to them.
No, for sure. Next up, we had Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dirty Dominic Mysterio. Andrade he does this move where it's like the fake kick to a spinning elbow.
Oh, fire.
He hit Dom so hard. It sounded like dynamite went off. I was like, Jesus Christ. It sounded like he killed Dom. And I think it was a little bit harder than Dom was expecting because he looked a little rung up. And I think he was supposed to roll out of the ring anyway, but he definitely looked like he needed to get out of the ring really quick. He definitely rolled out really fast. This match was fun. They added like the Jason Kelsey and whatever.
They didn't turn Carlito. It was like things like they wanted Ray to win. It was like, man, I get it. You got these baby faces in here. And granted, the only way I'm okay with it is because Andrade is such a beast, but like, Ray did not need to win over Santos and Dominic. Like, those two dudes, I felt needed. There's people in this card that I felt needed the win more so than the other people that won. And I just did not think Ray needed the win. But Andrade kicked ass. So, like, whatever. I'm Team Andrade going for the world championship. Like, that guy's a monster. You said the elbow one, the dragon twister where he looked like he broke Dom's leg and then Santos back to back. That shit was great, but
and then the crossbody with Ray on top of him was super cool as well.
Yeah,
Andrade's
a star.
No, he's great. I don't think he's a star, but I like if he was like intercontinental, I'd be fine with that.
Ooh, I can get down with that.
Don't think he's like world champ that level. I think he's definitely a mid carder. But like you said, the Carlito stuff didn't happen. The Jason Kelsey wearing a luchador and coming
out of nowhere.
Like, I get it's in Philly and it'll get the crowd going, but like, I didn't really see the point of that. I thought if you were going to do something like, I don't know, it just felt odd.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the match itself was fun. I don't know if there's much more to say about it. I gave it like a 2.5. I thought it was just like an okay match.
I was to see this one, I'll be a little higher, but I was in your ballpark. I'm at like a 2.8.
Okay.
And that Andrade got them the 8 because like the way the match, like if he wasn't in this and this was maybe Dragon Lee, we would have saw some more high flying stuff, but like, I don't know if I'd have been cool with that ending. So yeah, no, I'm in the 2s with this one.
Okay. Sounds good. Moving on. This is the one that I had an issue with, Jay versus Jimmy. It was a
solid TV match.
Yes, exactly. It felt like a TV match. It was 11 minutes. Like, they've had this beef going on for like a very long time, and I thought it would be a better setup towards the last match of the night. And even though we both picked Jimmy to win, I'm fine with Jay winning, but like it, the impact wasn't there. It just felt like Jay or like, I felt like Jimmy was like supposed to kick out and like he didn't. And I know that's like not the case. Like it ended how it was supposed to, but it just felt short and rushed.
This match needed a stipulation on top of everything. Yeah. Like it did. And I saw a lot of people saying that, like, man, it just, I don't know. If Jay were to win, even when I was talking to you about it in our predictions, I still thought Jimmy was going to whoop his ass and then he was going to win. Mm. But with this, it just felt like, oh no, Jay's just that much better than Jimmy. Like, yep. And I was like, damn, Jimmy got kind of hold on this one.
A little bit.
Like, I just felt what they did on night two was cooler. And all they did was a couple super kicks and a tackle. But even that felt more, this match, I don't know, man, the crying aspect of it. And I saw some people who were cool with this match was like, would you really want to hurt your brother? Like storyline stuff. And I was like, they were like, all the other brother for brother stuff was over the top where this was realistic. I was like, I don't know about that.
I feel like they could have just like, I don't know. I feel like this needed like 5 more minutes or something like that. I needed a little bit more tension and drama.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a TV match. That being said though, I don't know. There's some fun stuff. I like when they go like the, ooh, yeet.
Yeah.
Jay's, I don't know how you feel about, I mean, I love Lil Wayne, but like I don't know how I felt about him being like the the intro music, like coming out to a million. I'm like, what does this have to do with Jay Uso?
I loved it. That was my shit. I was like, yeah, Lil Wayne. I was like, oh, I was all
into Louisiana
it.
Boy. So
I know facts. I loved it. And then when Samantha Irvin called him the GOAT, I was like, yes, let's keep this going. Speaking of, we didn't mention that. We can use the time to mention this now. Samantha Irvin killed it this week.
Oh, she was so good. Anybody saying otherwise is legit dumb.
A hater. Yeah.
They're just dumb. Do you not want the person to be passionate and emotional calling these things? It's like,
mm-hmm. She's like, a part of the story just as much as everybody else.
Yeah. It's like, that's how big of a moment things were with her. Mm-hmm. Like, she's fantastic. But going back to Jimmy J, I gave this a 2.75.
Ooh, okay. I'm a little lower on this one with you. I'm at a 2.5 on this one. It was okay. It was aight.
This match I thought was also kind of aight to good. Jade, Bianca, Naomi going up against Damage Control. I figured this would be a little bit of a stomp fest, and it was. This is definitely the showcase. Jade, Bianca, and maybe Naomi a little bit more.
Yeah, Naomi didn't get that much love. This was the Jade Bianca show.
Yeah, no, for sure. I liked how they showcased them. I'll put it that way. I thought the match, what they were trying to do with the match worked. I thought the match itself was fine. I think it was pretty obvious that Dakota was taking the pin and Jade was going to get the pin. I think we predicted that on the last episode and we were correct on that. We both got this one right. So like, it's like, I think like the amount of time that they got was correct and what they were trying to do with the match was correct. So I'm like very middle of the road on this one.
Yeah. This was the one where during it, I went to the bathroom. I'm sorry to say, ladies and gents, like, it was just like, I knew what was happening with this one. Like the Kabuki Warriors when I was watching wasn't, it was going like we thought, like it is what it is. But what I did see, Jade did a good job. I thought Bianca did a decent job. I didn't think it was bad, but I didn't think it was great. I'm at like a solid 2.4, 2.5 with this one.
Okay. I'm going to give this a 3 just because I do like how they set it up. And like, you do need, if you want them to be major players going forward, you need them to squash them.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, and they did that. So I kind of feel bad, even though like Dakota Kai's never going to hold a belt. Like, I get that. But like Asuka and Kairi are really good. So like,
top stars, like, people would say. And then, like, poor Asuka, she hasn't won at WrestleMania yet.
Yeah, maybe one day, but yeah, so it was just like a solid match, but yeah, I gave it a 3. But my match of the weekend is next, Sami Zayn versus Gunther.
Oh, okay.
This match was insane. It was, they set the storyline perfect, especially when we saw like Sami and his son and his wife, how they included that into the storyline. Chad Gable doing his thing.
You had Sammy Kevin Owens out the right before.
KO. And Sammy pulled out the brainbuster on the turnbuckle. Holy shit.
That was crazy. That was legit, move of the night.
I thought that's my spot of the weekend for sure. I thought that they maybe botched it, but then I realized, like, oh no, that was like a move in Sammy's repertoire. He just doesn't use it that often, which is what I love. Like, bust out these old school moves that either you use like once a year, once every couple years, and it like means something.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. You remember in the I think this was last episode.
I think it was last episode.
Yeah, where I was talking about the pile driver and like that sort of stuff. Man, mm-hmm. This is what you're talking about, using it every so often if they bring it back because Triple H is in charge. And like, we wouldn't have saw no brainbuster if Vince was in charge. Hell no.
Yeah.
And then that shit was great.
But like, if Sammy wants to use this move, he should only use it when he's fighting somebody like Gunther. Like,
yeah,
if
that's powerful.
If he fights JD McDonagh on Monday,
hell no.
Do not use that move set. Like, you need to bust out these secret weapons for the biggest moments. And that's why I love this match. Like, it's stuff like that where the attention to detail is so high that it resonates me with a wrestling fan as like a little bit of like nostalgia from his past, but also the ace up your sleeve concept essentially. And he had to do that in order to beat Gunther. Like, if you want to beat the end boss, this is what you got to do. And now I think this is perfect for, even though I didn't want Sammy to be the one, I'm okay with Sammy being the one.
That's what I was about to say. I was not pro Sammy doing this before, but based upon the match that they did, I became pro Sammy doing this, and this was a damn good match. Definitely best match of night one. Gunther continues to put on bangers. Sami Zayn shows why he is one of the best baby faces in the business. I know people like to give Cody Rhodes a lot of praise, but like, Sammy's right there, and I think Triple H talked about it. In comparison, when Triple H was talking about him after the match, he was like, Sammy reminds me of Shawn. And I know when people hear that, they're like, Shawn Michaels? And they're like, no, well, and Triple H was like, hold on, Shawn Michaels did the moves, but what Sammy and Shawn share is that they can draw emotion out of you and they know what to do at the right moments to make you feel something. This isn't just about moves. This is to make you feel something. And Sami Zayn does that tenfold. And I think that's what this match did more than anything. It was great.
Yep, couldn't agree more. I loved it. I love the outcome. I love that hopefully for this new era, you are pushing Gunther to the moon. I would love to see him take it off of Damian if that's the case, because Cody's going to be holding that belt for years to come. I don't see him. Oh, well, I shouldn't say that.
I don't know if Gunther.
Maybe, yeah, but we'll see, because the draft is coming up and we'll see get shifted. Yeah.
That's what we got to wait and see. Like, all my predictions of like what's to come depends on like what happens at the end of this month for the draft.
Yeah. I feel like Cody's going to like go, like his next couple feuds will be going against people like Finn Balor, or like, you know, he has held the title at one point. Like, he is a formidable threat. I'm going to put that in quotation marks. And Cody's going to kind of ride those coattails for a little bit before we get like an actual threat.
I definitely think Randy's going to his brand though. I'm sticking with that one.
Okay. I can see Cody going up against Randy for sure. We'll see when the draft happens and then we can start crafting some storylines.
Also, can't forget the final boss, man. We'll talk about that.
I feel like The Rock is down the road. Not right away. So.
Oh yeah, no, The Rock gotta go film some movies. That's not gonna happen at the earliest would be SummerSlam, which is like, I don't think that's right for that. If you
agreed.
Have The Rock for, funny enough, I know people wanted Roman and Rock for WrestleMania, but it might be Cody Rock for WrestleMania.
If the Rock Cody would make sense, because Rock, I guess we'll get to that in a minute, but yeah, I gave this a 4.5. It's up there for match of the year for me, even though, I mean, we're only a third of the way through the year, but yeah, it was fantastic. I loved it.
I'm at a solid, I think I gotta be at 4.5 because it was that good. I was about to say 4.3, but no, it was that good. I'm with you. 4.5. It's up
and we
there.
Both picked Gunther, by the way, so we both got that one wrong.
We only got one wrong so far tonight.
No, we got two because we both picked Jimmy.
Oh yeah,
and you picked Santos.
I did get Santos and Jimmy wrong. God.
Yes. So I'll tell you your score at the end of this, but Last but not least, the Bloodline, the Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. I want to get your thoughts on it.
This one was a long damn match.
Yes, it was.
It took Rock a while to get into his mojo, but when we got there, it was good. I will say that he had to feel it out. And I think towards the end, it was like, okay. The spot I think of is when Seth and Cody both did the pedigree. And then, like, after that, something happened where Rock and Roman took over that. But at that moment, I was like, damn, is Seth and Cody going to win? And I was thinking, man, is Cody not going to win the championship? And then all of a sudden, Rock and Roman start doing their shit, and then they beat him. And I was like, okay, my guy's getting the ship. Because the way that felt at the end of him whooping Cody's ass and whooping Seth's ass, I was like, oh, no, he's getting the belt tonight. And they did a good job of setting that up because I saw people in the media trying to be like, oh, man, how is Cody and Seth going to overcome this? But, like, we knew after that match, dude was winning. There's no way I saw Roman winning that after that tag match.
No, for sure.
Yeah, and then Cody taking the pin and then sitting there doing the same face from 39.
I'll be honest. I'm a little surprised Rock won with Rock Bottom to people's elbow. I just assumed Cody would kick out of least. Like, I have no issue with The Rock pinning Cody, but, like, we're at the point now where, like, the people's elbow isn't
a top finisher
move. Like, no one's getting pinned by the five knuckle shuffle. Like, so I was a little like, oh, it's over. Wow. Which is good and bad because the match was like 45 minutes. And I don't think this match needed 45 minutes. That being said, I really enjoyed the Roman spearing the Rock spot. That I think that got like people like, oh shit.
Is the turn happening?
Yeah, like that was like, okay, people are gonna start cooking now. Like this is getting good. And the Rock sold it like he got shot in the chest. Like that was like a huge plus for me for this match.
And I like that Rock made Roman tag out. I like that because that to me is like, okay. Roman's going to look back at this and be like, hold up, bro. Rock, you was doing too much.
I also don't think The Rock needs to say fuck 700 times a match. There were spots when we were watching on stream where like it was just muted the whole time because
Rock was cursing.
And like, yo, I get it, but like I can't hear you. So
I think I tweeted, damn, Rock said a whole bunch of F-bombs tonight.
Yeah, I think if I was alive, I think that would have been sick. But because I was watching it on stream, I was just like, yo, did my stream go out? Like, what happened? It's like, nah, he's just swearing. They have to mute it. But overall, I thought this was like a pretty good match. I don't know. There's like, outside of the Roman spearing the Rock, I don't know if there's any like, spots that I thought were like dope. I think Seth had a really nice curb stomp, like a reversal into a curb stomp, but I just thought this was like a really good tag match. I gave it like 3.5.
I'm at a solid 3.6, 3.5, right there with you. It set up night two. This felt up like the setup, like Harry Potter Deathly Hallows part one, baby. For night two to be part two. That sort of shit where you split up. Like, this was Infinity War, and we had Endgame the next night. So
gotcha. I like that.
And boy, was it Endgame. Jesus.
Yeah, so we both had Rock and Roman. So end of night one, I went 6-2, and you went 5-3.
All right, and solid.
We can move on to night two. First match, incredible. This was such a good opening match. Drew versus Seth. I popped for sure, but like I didn't know what Seth's like outfit and dancers were.
That I was super confused. I was like, what is happening?
I guess it's a Philly thing, so I do some Googling, and I was like, once I found out some more information, I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, so this was like if people came to New Orleans and did like some Mardi Gras shit.
Yeah, it's like a Philly thing. I forgot there's a name for their group or whatever, but it's been going on for like 100-something years, so like it's a pretty big deal in Philly. But I love this match. It was pure adrenaline almost from start to finish. About a little over 10 minutes. And I think that's like the perfect length. Seth a little bit banged up from the night before. So it's like understandable that he can't go the distance like he can in like other main events.
And I love how they didn't shy from that. Like Drew was like, "Nah, bro, I know you're messed up. I'm hitting you with Claymore. I'm busting you up."
Yep. And I thought that was perfect. Love that Drew winning was him live tweeting during the match.
That was great. That was so
he like went over to his wife and like got his phone and tweeted or something like that. Oh, that was so good. And then I'm including this in the match itself, the cash in, you know, Drew being the cocky MF that he is, knowing that Punk can't do anything because he's hurt. And Punk's actually like, you know what? I'm not that hurt. Like, and then, you know, trips him over. Damien comes, cashes in. Drew is just in utter disbelief, adding more fuel to the fire when Drew and Punk, this should be WrestleMania next year, even though I don't, it needs to be Royal Rumble or.
Yeah, early. And it doesn't need the belt. It really doesn't. It does not need the belt now, especially after Raw. Because, boy, if I'm Drew McIntyre, that guy's got to die. took away my belt, and then at the Raw after Mania, when I'm trying to get my redemption,
grab
you caused me to lose again?
Yep.
Oh, no. But, I mean, hey, from CM Punk's perspective, Drew was kind of doing too much. He was doing a lot. Like, I know we've been pro-Drew, but if I'm a CM Punk guy, it's like, man, Drew, you've been doing a lot of talking trash. CM Punk had to get his ups.
I mean, if he tweets and it gets 20,000 likes, he ain't stopping.
No, he's not.
love this match. Super fun. Great from start to finish. Great. Unlike the Rey Mysterio match, this set up something. The twist was fantastic. It had everything that I wanted. I'm going to give this like a 4.25.
See, really? I'm at a solid 4.5 with this one. This one, like, to start the mat night. And what I'm about to say, I don't want it to disrespect what I said earlier about Rhea and Becky doing a good job starting, but this was a great way to start night two. Yeah. It was just like, okay, I know the shenanigans are coming tonight, man. Didn't expect Damian. And if I did, I thought he was going to lose. But what a good way to make it to where Damian had to win. I did not see CM Punk taking off his brace.
Yep, me neither.
Drew's ass. So
that was great.
Kudos to
just
them.
For a little bit, and he actually is still hurt.
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
But I don't think he had the brace on Monday Night Raw.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't.
So I think he's still like healing. Like he can't wrestle still, but like he probably doesn't need
to wear it as much.
Yeah, great. But that leads us to be honest, this is the only stinker I thought of the entire both nights. And that's the Pride versus the Final Testament.
This match.
They had the spot where Karrion Kross got on the table and it broke before they could do anything. And it's just like
Bully Ray was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like the Authors of Pain were on the outside for like 7 minutes. They were just like just chumped. And I think I called it like, dude, Karrion Kross gets buried all the time. And he's going to continue to get buried.
He's on NXT now, bro.
Oh, is he? Oh, I missed
Final
that.
Testament came out and beat up the whole group. Beat up Axiom and Nathan Frazier, and they were like,
after they won the belt,
is the Final Testament on NXT now? Like, so yeah.
Well, that I honestly, good for them, that's where they belong.
You called it, you're like, if they lose, it's over. No, bro, that was so just like, what is happening? I did not think the Prophets needed that win, and someone was like, did you not want to see them win? I was like, what does that do for them? Like, I want the Prophets to be successful, but it's like, they need something to shake them up because with them and Bobby, it's not working right now. Maybe it'll work after Mania. We'll see. But yeah, this match was a stinker.
It's like if Ricochet wins, it's like, who cares? Mm-hmm. It's like, it doesn't matter. Like,
because we know if he wins two more times, he's going to have to talk and it's not going to work.
Yeah. This is just like, okay, cool. There's no trios belt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where does this go from here? Like, I honestly don't know. I legit have no idea where it could go. Like, maybe Bobby does some singles stuff and then they're just there hanging out with them. But this felt like a really bad go home house show match. That's just like, you want the fans to go home happy, but the only problem is nobody gives a shit.
Mm-hmm. They brought Bully Ray out to pop the crowd, like the ECW vibes. It was just like, Oh, I see what you tried. It didn't, didn't land.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. I thought this was pretty much a stinker. I gave
I'm at a 2.
I'm at 1.5.
Rightfully so.
And I got this right. You predicted that.
Yeah, the final test.
The final test I was going to win.
Kick my ass for going for story. Gosh, stay in NXT now.
Okay, next one up is LA Knight versus AJ Styles. I'm going to let you do this one because I had some connection issues with this one. I saw most of it, but I don't know if there's something that stood out to you.
It was, and this is no disrespect. I think this is another one that needed a stipulation. I think this one needed, because of how hot it was, in the sense of these guys hate each other, but you're not letting them cross the line. Like, they need to cross the line. I felt like this was a match. If we're going to use blood, it needed it. I felt like a steel case, something. It desperately needed it. And, you know, or false count anywhere, something. It was okay. No spots really stood out either. It was just like, this was okay. The thing that stood out, AJ's music sucks.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat where when I watched it, I was like, yeah, this was a solid match. It's crazy how good of shape AJ Styles is in for how old he is. Just like, that dude is taking incredible care of his body. So props to AJ. But did this feel like a WrestleMania match? No. But it also didn't feel like a Raw match. So like,
yeah, it felt like a pay-per-view match.
Yeah. It felt like a Backlash match or something like that. It was somewhere in the middle. I think a stipulation would have been great. Even though I don't really care for this in wrestling, just because based off their feud, if there was some blood in this, I think it could have helped.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, get a little busted up, get a little, like, if this is,
it needed some emotion, it needed something to draw out the drama, because it just, the normal match thing for this, like, you had them fighting at the media day with AJ Styles with a bloody nose. We couldn't let AJ Styles bloody up Knight and Knight win victory and like that, been like, yeah, the babyface got something. Something.
Yeah, I wish it had, you know, a TLC match or something, or a strap match or something along those lines, where they can just like beat the shit out of each other. I think that's what it was missing. So that's kind of where I detract some points to it. Luckily, it didn't go long. It was like 12 and a half minutes.
I was like, damn, it's over.
I think Night 2, just in general, the length of the matches went well. I think that like that, the three tag match or whatever, the Pride versus Testament, if the table didn't break, it would have been like a 7-minute match, which would have been perfect, but there's such a delay, kind of whatever. This was like the exact opposite. It felt like 12 and a half minutes was perfect, and I do think it was a little bit better than a team match. I'm gonna give this a 3.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. This is a solid 3, just right in the middle. Good job, fellas.
We both had LA Knight for that. Next up, Logan Paul versus KO versus Randy Orton. I love this match. It was so much fun. It was
great.
It was pretty much everything I thought. I loved in the beginning where Logan just like rolls eyes, like, nah, you guys fight. No, you guys got this. The only thing I didn't like about this, it's so funny watching with people like my age, like in their like early 30s, and then they take off.
Y'all didn't know who Speed was.
Everyone's like, who the fuck is that? I'm like, I get why he's there, he's a humongous star, but like people my age like don't watch Speed, like we are not the demographic for him.
Yeah, I don't watch Speed either. I just see him on TikTok. Hey, I just thought the funniest shit was he kept dropping F-bombs, and Randy Orton's like, what are you doing, bro? Then whoops his ass and barks at him.
Yes,
the funniest shit ever.
Randy Orton was low-key the MVP of this match. Him RKOing Speed on the table was great. Everything about this was fantastic. I think you called it last time where Logan's getting set up for SummerSlam and that he was going to win.
He was on the post. They released the poster right after. It was him and Cody in the front.
Yep. So you were 100% correct on that. I just thought this match, you know, it was almost 18 minutes. It didn't feel like 18 minutes.
Not at
like,
all.
In the beginning, there was some like buffering because of Logan doing heel stuff. But then once it started rolling, it was like, man, I love a good, nice pace match, and this was it. I'm giving it a 4. I really like this match.
Okay, so I think of the double buckshot lariat spot that was great. Logan did on both Randy in KO, and I think Randy doing the RKO and Speed was another one that I love. Yeah, I'm with you. This was a fast-paced match. I think I got to go four as well. Give props for props to do. It's a damn good match.
Hell yeah. Before we get to the final match, we had Bayley versus Io Sky. Not quite a stinker, but...
You're not high on it? I thought this match was great, man. Bro, they kicked ass.
I honestly felt like it was fine.
The crowd got me into it too, chanting Bayley, and then like,
yo, they did Bayley's song for like 7 minutes. I'm like, shut up. Like, I love that song, but you are playing it to death. You can stop now.
Oh, I so love this. I thought Io was like showing why she was a star with her spots. I was like, damn. And then no damage control. I love that. Oh, I was big on this match.
I hate being negative, so you just be positive. I'll say my score.
Okay. Yeah, no, this match, I loved it. The rose plant, the fake out that Io did on that rose plant, and then Bayley doing it again. I loved it. I thought the Io's high-flying stuff. I was like, at one point, I thought Bayley wasn't going to win for how good Io was doing. I was just like, I thought they cooked. This was probably my favorite match outside of the main event. Like, I thought they cooked. I was all in it, and I was just like, okay, now we see doing women's wrestling, giving it some love right here, man. I was all involved. I was all in, and I was just like, okay, Bayley, you're the champion now. I'm behind it. I'm behind it with the baby face. So let's see how you do. But I think Philly being so hyped for them hyped me up. And I think that was one of the moments where I could say the crowd, they needed the crowd to be that for that match. And then right before the main event. So shout out to Philly for that. Because I know a lot of people shit on the Philly crowd, rightfully so, on night one. But they said it was cold. But night two, they showed out. And that was one that it definitely influenced me for sure.
Okay. Question for you. Why is Bayley Egyptian now?
Oh, I see the intro. I just cut that out of my brain. the match starts when Io Sky walks in the ring and they ring the bell. Because I didn't understand it. I didn't know. I was Googling it. I was like, is she Egyptian?
I was like, no, she is Mexican and she's from San Jose, California.
Didn't get it. Maybe she was Cleopatra inspired. That's
what I was thinking. But I'm like, she kind of made it like her gimmick.
Didn't get it.
Wait, we actually brought this up in our Discord. Like, I think if you ever got like an Egyptian wrestler and like their gimmick was Cleopatra, I think that'd be insane. I think that'd be so gas. But I'm like, Bayley's not Egyptian.
Yeah.
She's not Egyptian.
I started the match literally right when the bell rang. I was definitely confused because if I took them entrances into account, I would be like, don't know what's happening here.
If somebody knows, please let me know. Cause I was just like, I was in Discord with like three other people. They're just like, why is she Egyptian? I'm like, I was hoping you guys would know.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I was definitely on Google Googling Bayley's nationality. And it was like, there was no Egyptian.
Is Bayley Egyptian?
that was nowhere in sight.
So
yeah, you give your score and I'll give my high one.
Like a 2.75. Like it was good. But like thinking about like WrestleMania women's matches, like, if I'm trying to, especially for like the title, like if I'm thinking like Rhea versus Charlotte, this was not even close to that. So like, I'm going to compare it to like those style of matches. And I thought it was good, not great. And yeah, I was looking for something a little bit more.
Okay, so I was going to give it a 4, but then when you said comparing it to Rhea and Charlotte, I was like, damn, he's right. That's fair. I'm going to go a solid 3.6. Shout out to you, ladies. I enjoyed it, but I gotta knock it because you're right, it's not on the reach.
And I got that one wrong, you got that one right.
Nice. Needed that for my score this weekend.
Last match, Cody versus Roman. I'm gonna let you go off, but I'm gonna still say one thing. People were like nitpicking
about what?
So I compared it to Spider-Man No Way Home, where you just had like different Spider-Mans for sort of nostalgia purposes. I thought a lot of it made a lot of sense, but also like my biggest factor in wrestling is enjoyment. And I had a lot of fun with this match. So if I get that some people don't find this like technically like kind of like outlandish and stuff like that with how they did the storytelling, I thought this match was so much fucking fun. I had a blast watching this. It was everything I wanted in a wrestling match. Is it a 5-star all-timer for me? No. But god damn, did I not enjoy myself, and I thought it was the perfect end to the story. All right, Lynn, you've been waiting a year for this match. Please do your thing.
Yeah, no, it was the end game for me, man. It felt like, okay, everyone's coming out. We're getting this. But it all made sense story-wise. And to your point, that's why I asked you, which match do you think was better to start this, 39 or 40? I think 39 technically in ring.
Oh, you're cut out.
Oh, can you hear me now? Can you hear
me
now?
I can't
hear you. Oh, hold on. Let's see. Let me turn this. Hold on.
You said which match is better, and then that's where it ended.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Let's see. Can you hear me now? No.
Oh.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
All right. So, okay. So, this match to me, and that's why I asked you which one was better, 39 or 40 in the beginning, because 39 was them doing, okay, Roman and Cody are damn good wrestlers. Yeah. But that wasn't what this was for. This was to culminate not only Roman's reign, but Cody's reign and everything in between, everyone who was involved. And I think they did a damn good job because, look, some of the spots, before we get to the shenanigans, I think Cody and Roman did a damn good job. We get Roman doing the crossroads. We get Cody spearing. Like, I think they took each other's moveset. And to me, Roman and Cody are going to get a rivals episode that I think will be great. And I think that this is Roman's best rivalry, in my besides Seth Rollins, of course. But I think Cody Rhodes is, outside of Seth, is his first, like, real rivalry. And I love it for him. I think him and Cody can do matches in the future. And the way that this came out, when you start to get to the people coming in, you get Jay and Jimmy. You knew that was going to happen. Solo comes out. I thought Seth was going to come out then, but it made so much sense for John Cena to come out. John Cena comes out because Solo squashed and he had beef with him. Let me give Roman a little F5, but let me go finish Solo. Then Rock comes out. You get the stare down again. Rock's like, why are you in here? And John Cena's like, you know why I'm here. I'm John fucking Cena. I'm the hero. I have to be here. And Rock's like, nah, brother. Rock bottom.
Nah,
then
it's like, brother.
We're going to beat ass. And then all of a sudden the Shield music plays, which I think is brilliant because I think they had to do it this way for Roman to make the decision that he did.
Yes.
You have Seth come out in the gear. The thing, it takes Roman off his game. He's looking for the chair shot. And the fact that Seth was going to plan B Rock, Roman Superman punches him, gets Roman in that mind of Seth. And then Rock is ready to go. Me personally, and I know people have come up with reasons why they think Undertaker works. I've listened to them. Some of them, yes, I get it. I'm cool with it. But I go back to the Monday Night Raw, where Cody was getting his ass beat and Rock looked like he was about to drop him over the edge of the rail at the stadium. And in between, people were like, this doesn't matter. It definitely mattered. He was in between John Cena and Stone Cold. And I think they were going to anoint him as the new hero. But I don't know why Stone Cold didn't come, but the fact that you get Undertaker as the ghost of WrestleMania, like, I can't let this fly, and then takes Rock out the ring, and then it's just Roman and Cody, which I thought was great because Cody's interference does not give him the win. It just neutralizes Roman's interference. And then now Roman has the choice. You see the belt, you see the chair. He picks up the chair. He could have hit Cody. But what was more important to Roman in that moment was because Seth came out as the Shield stuff. It was like, I got to get my revenge. And then that was perfect. Roman sacrificed his reign to get his revenge on Seth Rollins, which I thought was beautiful. And then you get Cody winning 1-2-3. Perfect moment. I love everything about the decisions of the interference and why and what happened.
Yep. I like Roman's. I really like Roman in that dilemma. Do I hit Seth? Do I hit Cody? And to quote one of my favorite songs from this year, how could I forgive if I can't forget?
Mm-hmm.
And he saw that. He was like, you had that shot on me and it changed everything. I'm going to take my shot on you right now. It's
and
like,
then Seth, great, great performer, felt just like Roman did. Exactly.
So I'm pretty sure Roman's taking a break. Seth's taking a break.
That's the feud.
Yo, that's the feud. I am all in on that for sure. That looks great.
This match made me be like, damn, I like Roman.
I've liked Roman for a minute, but I will still say, for as great as I like this, I still think Cody should have won last year.
Ooh, interesting.
I get everything that happened throughout the year and it worked. I still think Cody should have won last year.
Let me ask you, because this is interesting. If Cody wins last year, we don't get Rock bringing wrestling to this new to this new level in The Sims.
I think you could. I still think. Okay. I think it, a lot of it's in hindsight, but like.
True.
I still think they can figure out a way. Like The Rock will figure something out. Like if any, like he is a pro's pro. Like they'll figure something out with it. So
I'm gonna jump to this side. I think I'm happy with what we got. Like I think
I am too.
It worked. Now whether or not it should have, I think that's a great question. But I think they made it work.
Think it's like the perfect caveat to this new era where. For was it 6 straight WrestleManias Roman has headlined?
Mm-hmm.
And every time he has won. So now we have this new era. And now it's Cody's turn.
Mm-hmm.
What a better way to issue this new era of Vince's prodigy or whatever, golden child, no longer holding gold.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's Cody's turn.
And I loved it.
I think how it played out worked very well. Still in my heart, I wish Cody won at 39, but I can't go back to the past. I got to take what I got now, and I still think it was great. I'm giving this match a 4.25. It was so much fun. There was a lot of good spots, a lot of nostalgia tripping. I loved John Cena. I love The Rock. The Undertaker was whatever, but like...
People have come up with so many reasons why. Because Undertaker was still mad that Roman called him the big dog and this is his yard now. Back in that, they came up with so many reasons. But, like, you know, to me, no one can convince me that was supposed to be Stone Cold. Like, yeah. I go back to the Raw thing where they put Cody in between Cena and Austin. I think that was purposefully done.
That's why I think it's like, because I don't like Spider-Man No Way Home.
Mm-hmm.
Where I do think a lot of times they just bring in other Spider-Mans just because people like them. And that's kind of how I felt with Undertaker. It's like, he's here because people like the Undertaker. It's like...
There's no one else, though. I will say this. If it wasn't Stone Cold, there's no one else they could have gotten that would have made sense besides Undertaker. I think Undertaker, because he is the guy, the ghost of WrestleMania, this guy who's been at WrestleMania all the time, if he sees something, he waited too long. It was like... I couldn't let anything else slide. I can't let this slide. So I don't think any other wrestler would have made sense outside of Stone Cold or him.
Correct. I think how I would have wanted it is if John Cena took out The Rock and not the other way around.
Okay.
And you could set that up because Cena's not going to feud with The Rock.
And to that point, you could have had Randy come out take out Solo Sikoa because they had beef too.
Yes,
they did. That's another thing they could have, which I'd have been okay with.
But yeah, that being said, I love this match. It was super fun. I think it was probably, it was my second favorite match of the whole card. So loved it. Great end to it. Cody got his flowers and I was very, very happy with this WrestleMania.
I'm giving it a 4.6 as my match of the night because of what you said. It's about enjoyment. And this was the most I enjoyed out of all of it. It made me pop. My girlfriend was like, you look like a little kid. Because when I heard the dog, I was like, what the fuck? She filmed me. I'll see if I can get that footage. There's like me just going insane seeing this. And then Cody get his moment. She was like, your guy won. And I was like, yeah, man. But it was a whole year. So this was definitely ultimate for me. So I'm going 4.6. So,
oh, yeah.
But in terms of in-ring, yeah, no, you're right. 4-2.
Okay.
Absolutely right. That's pretty much everything.
Oh, yeah. Final results. I went 12-3. You went 11-4.
Let's go, brother.
Probably the first time I think I beat you. So that brings us to the year. You have a 1-game lead on me. You are 20-6. I am 19-7.
I told you this was going to be a good year for you.
Yeah, we got plenty of time for me to blow this.
I told you. We're looking good. That's what I like to see. All right, real quick before we finish. What is up with AEW, man? What was that? They only got 800,000 people. They did all they did last night just for an 800,000 rating. Not even a million. No, 800,000
clowns. I love AEW. That was
a bad look.
This is legit like a going to be like a bruise on them for a very long time. I think they tried to pull some. I don't know. It just reminds you of like some WCW Nitro days, some bullshit like that. And it's just like
this was WCW saying that Mankind won the championship and it only backfired on them to turn the channel type situation. Yeah.
So like. It was just like not necessary, not needed. Also,
The announcer's faces showed it too.
Yeah, Tony Schiavone was like, I don't want to be here. Yeah.
And then Renee would, and I love Ospreay, but when Ospreay went at Triple H, I don't think that was necessary either. Because if you really want to ask me, I don't even think Triple H was talking about Ospreay. I think Triple H was talking about Mercedes. That's why I think he was talking about when he made those comments.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm not. Yeah, that one's up in the air of who he was talking to. But
true.
It just to me, it just AEW is built on being a wrestling company. Like they
focus
have the
on
best,
yourselves. Yeah.
They have the best wrestlers in the world. They're trying to do something different than the WWE product. This felt like a WWE thing. I'm just like, you're playing to their, like you're trying to up somebody who's the best at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And like it needed to be the best thing I've seen in wrestling in a very long time. And it's honestly one of the dumbest things I've seen in a very long time.
And then it didn't have bad. The audio. And I think if it had the audio, we would have said more. Damn, what CM Punk like, said was right. Like everything.
Yo, it's like in the video, was CM Punk the aggregator?
Facts.
Whatever, the aggressor? Yeah. But also, there were reports of people getting bit and blood and glass. And it's like, this was a locker room scruffle between some dude trying to get cheap heat and somebody calling him out for it. It's like, for as much as I dislike Punk, that wasn't bad. Like that was, I feel like in like a professional workplace, no, obviously that's not the correct play, but like
on a sports team locker room, like the NFL, the NBA, that happens.
Yeah. It's just like emotions run high. And like, that is like a shot at Punk and it, I don't know. Like
Punk tweeted a funny or Instagrammed a funny picture of George Bush
mission accomplished.
The fact that he used Bush shows incompetence. I think that's hilarious to me.
Yeah, just honestly embarrassing for AEW. I just don't get it.
Punk's like, still trending number one on Twitter. Like that's what they did. They made Punk like matter more.
Yep. This is going to backfire. It was really dumb.
I don't know if like to me what AEW needs to be focusing on is the fact that Swerve's about to be the new champion. Like y'all tried to make. Y'all tried to make the main event, a Samoan Joe versus a Rhodes to back off of WrestleMania. But the thing is, y'all can have your own WrestleMania moment, if not bigger, with Swerve being the first black champion of AEW. That's what they should be. They can have a moment. They 100% could. Yep. And that's what they should be focusing on, in my opinion.
Agreed. Stick with what you're good at. You'll get the people that you want in your product. I can compare it to like content creating where like, we're both in the anime sphere. If I talk about One Piece, I'm gonna get 10 times as many listens as I normally get, but it's something that I'm not passionate about, and therefore the audience that I retain is something that I'm like, those are the people I want listening. When AEW does a shit, you're gonna get people that you don't want.
Yeah.
And it's like this: would you rather have 10 consistent listeners all the time or 100 new listeners who won't show up for another episode?
Facts.
And to me, that's what it is. It's like, what are you trying to do with your product? And this was just like cheap bullshit that AEW doesn't normally do.
And then next week they'll be down to 700,000 or maybe even 600,000. So like that, comparison you did, it was spot on. So, but that's pretty much everything. Pete, tell the people where they can follow you at on social media.
Yeah, best way to follow me is on my anime podcast on Twitter. It's Weisei Annie, Weisei A-N-I on Twitter. If you want to see me take pictures in Japan, you should follow me there. Otherwise, if you like anime podcasts, you should check out my anime podcast as well. What do you say, anime?
Hell yeah. Make sure y'all go follow Pete. The links will be in the description of the video or the podcast. And you can follow me at LinkBWT. Follow Bros Who Think at Bros Who Think. Until next time, you guys have a good one and peace.
Peace.